finish up the chapter today, James chapter 2. And I think this is if it was ever a good day to come to church, this is a good day. Because there's some light stuff, but there's also some stuff that's life-changing. And so just kind of hold that, and we're going to talk about today real faith versus fake faith. And or basically a faith that you can see. Because if I was to ask you, what does faith look like, it's hard to put into words. But today I think James puts it into perspective for us. He says, this is what faith looks like. You want to know where you're at? You want to know if you and Jesus are like this? Then here is the way. Here's the path to go forward with that. Today, our culture that we live in is in overrun with what I call fake products. Almost anything that is real now, from AI down, can be faked and purchased at a much. We can purchase things at a much cheaper price because we look at these things and think they're a Coach purse. Well, there's a couch purse, so there's another kind of. There's always some knockoff that's cheaper. You can improve your body with fake nails, with fake hair, with fake teeth, with fake body parts that we're not going to mention. We can fake tan. You can go out and you can eat a taco with fake meat and fake cheese, and you can put fake sugar in your fake coffee while you talk about fake news and your fake friends and social media and have a fake identity. We live in a world that's very, very unreal. And we create these stigmas about who we are. This is us. And we put it out there on different pages. We put it out there in different things and say, this is who I am. In reality, a lot of us are just like a ball of rubber bands that have been twisted all together and broken and stretched out way beyond they're supposed to. And we're sitting there just trying to figure out, how do I go forward today? There are some areas of life where you just can't fake it. And one of those is faith. It's important for you as a believer in Jesus to understand, are you living a fake faith? And that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit today. Because if you're living a phony faith, then you've got a problem with the one who created you. So in the book of James, we're going to talk about today, how can you see real faith? How can you see real faith? And not the phony kind. How can you see what's really real? So I've got James chapter 2 from 14 through 20. I think it's going to be on there. It's also on our Facebook page. If you miss anything today, go to our Facebook page. The sermon comes up. All the outline notes are on there. So that if you want to go back over something, you missed something, there it is. Here we go. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accomplished by action. It's dead if it doesn't have an action to it. But someone will say, well, you have faith, and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith and by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good, but even the demons, listen, even the demons believe that and they shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? And then he's going to show us that here in just a second. And we're going to talk about that as we close that up, this section today. James 2:14 says this, going back to the top. So what's a faith that you can really see? He says, what good it is, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds to show for it? I'm asking you, what good is it to say I'm a Christian? To say I believe in Jesus, but you got no deeds. Nothing to back it up. So let's talk about what faith is not. Number one, real faith is more than words that I say. Real faith is more than words that I say. Boy, we're good with the words. We say, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I go to church sometimes. I do what God wants me to do. Sometimes people pray. I love going to people's houses. Of course, I'm a pastor, and everybody always either asks me to pray, or when they pray, they say, you know, they've got a rote thing that they say, dear God, thank good God, good grace, good God, you know, just over teeth, over the gums, look out, stomach, here it comes, you know. It's a prayer that gets said, and nobody really is thinking about what they're saying. And faith that you can see is more than words. He says, because you say you have faith doesn't mean you have it. Because you say you have it doesn't mean you have it. So this is James saying this. Now let's go back a little bit, back to Matthew 7:21, I think it'll come up here. And Jesus says this. Now listen to this. This will blow your mind. This will blow your mind if you really think about what he's saying. Jesus says this. Not everyone who says that I'm their Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Listen what I said. Jesus is talking. He says, the only people who will enter heaven are those who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do. D-O, D-O. This is one of the times that we're going to talk about that word, D-O, do, because it matters. It matters. For instance, I could stand up here today and I could claim to be a really the world's best dancer. And the minute I start dancing, you're going to go, nope, no, you know, keep it tight. It doesn't matter. You're not the world's best dancer. You know that, because I'm not. But I could say it. You could say anything today. I'm really good at basketball. I love playing with kids. I was at camp. I was shooting basketballs with a couple kids, and the one kid, yeah, I'm really good. And he's sitting there, and he didn't even get the. It wasn't all net. There was nothing but under the net. You know, he just. But I'm good. Look, and he's hitting the net. And we think we're pretty good at stuff. We say we're good at stuff, but oftentimes we're really not. So my question to you today is this. Who do you think you're fooling by having a phony faith? Who do you think you're fooling by having a phony faith? Because talk is cheap. So real faith is more that it's words that I see. They have action to them. So that's what faith is. Real faith, then, number two, is not emotions that I feel. And I want to talk to some of you about this because I think it's important. He says the very next verse, real faith is more than anything you get at this quiver inside of you. He says this, suppose, this is James 2:15-17. Suppose you see your brother and your sister in need food or clothing and you say to them, I wish you well. I feel for you. I hope you stay warm. I hope you eat well. But then you do nothing to meet their needs. What good does your sympathy do? It's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. You can go to church, not just this church, you can go to any church, and you can get a quiver in your liver, and you can fall down on the ground, and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can jump and dance and sing and do all those things. But it doesn't mean that you're doing what God wants you to do. Because those things, a lot of outward things, don't go very, very far in doing that, because it has to be more than what you feel inside. Because you can come here, you can go to some place and be inspired and feel incredibly jacked and ready to go. And by the time you take two steps, you're depressed again. Because it can't be about feelings. It can't be about what you feel. James is still talking. He says, if it's not accompanied by actions, it doesn't work. It's dead. Your faith is dead. Faith is dead and it's useless. And James is using sarcasm here. And I love James because I'm a little sarcastic. And he's using this sarcasm. He says, you go up to somebody who's out of work, okay? And hey, buddy, I feel for you. And hang in there. Cheer up. Keep your chin up. Don't worry. Be happy. And we use all these great things. You know, I'll pray for you. Listen, most of the people that you meet that say they need help, they don't need what you're going to give them, that little platitude. They need food. They need clothing. They need for you to come alongside them and find a way to be God's hands and his feet wherever you are. Our church, for the first 19 years, we're 22 years old, maybe, let me say 18. For the first 18 years, we've been so good about this. And when COVID hit, I'm going to blame it on COVID, and then I'm going to say we got lazy. We forgot. We forgot as a church, I believe, that things were about others. We forgot. So what we did is we went internal. And we begin to go, and that's not, we're not doing things for Jesus. And we are, I'm not putting this down. I'm just saying for the first 18 or 19 years, that's all we did was think about what God was wanting other people to do. And it's really, really easy to get focused on yourself the older you get. Because all you think about is your needs. And all you think about is your comfort. And about what happens to you or doesn't happen to you. And so it has to come more than an emotion. It has to be more than feelings. And it says you've got to, when you go up to somebody and you notice that there's a problem, you can't just give them lip service. When somebody comes in church and stands up and says, I got a need, you need to be a part of that answer. Well, somebody else to do it. You know, there's 100 people there. Some other fool will do that. Well, that's harsh, Jeff. You know, that happens a lot. Because there's about 20 or 30 people in here doing a lot of the things that go around. Because another 70 are going, well, somebody else will do it. You're being mean, Jeff. No, I'm being truthful. Faith is more and emotions. It is more than having a feeling, than getting jazzed up and coming up and saying, oh, the Spirit of God is on me to tell you these great things. Well, if he's telling you anything, he's telling you, you need to be my hands and feet. You don't retire from being Jesus' hands and feet. You say, well, you're going to retire in a couple years. I'm retiring from here. I'm not retiring from being Jesus' hands and feet. I'm gonna go find a way to burn out. I don't want to rust out. A lot of you are gonna, you're rusting out. You're rusting out because you're sitting around. You've heard me say this, and I'm not being crass when I say that, but you're sitting on your assets. You're sitting on the things you did in the past. Well, we used to help start the church. We did this, we did that. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It matters what God's calling you to do today. And so I say to you today, it's more than emotions. Here's another thing faith isn't. It's not something, an idea that I debate. It's not something that I like to talk about. And I will say this about our church. There's not a lot of debaters in here. There's a couple. There's two or three. And I'm not going to call you out by name. But there's people that just like to talk about the Bible. And it's, if all you do is talk about the Bible, you've missed the whole Bible. Because the Bible is not about talking, it's about action. I've been at 5 churches in my life that I've pastored or been a youth pastor at, and I in those other 3 or 4 churches, I've built this church around that fact of saying, I don't want us to be debaters. I want us to be doers of the word. Because I saw what we did at other churches. We sat around and we talked about it. We talked about the color of the carpet, why the whole area around us needed us to go out and do something in that area. And we talked about it, and we debate about it. And even today, it's so easy to go onto social media and debate too. And we put up these big rhetoric things. And it's nice, it's okay if you do that. But if you don't have anything backing that up, it does no good to shotgun approach across, because you're preaching to the choir. Because most of the people that read your stuff probably agree pretty much with you. I know some of you've got people that disagree with you. I understand that. And that's good if that's you. But I think a lot of us, we're speaking to the vacuum. We're speaking to the vacuum. And God says, no, it's not about debating. It's not about sitting around talking about it and just babbling on and on and on. Somebody as big as God wants to come into your life, and he wants to visibly do something. He wants to visibly change you. And he wants to do this in a way where he comes into your life and says, you can't be doing what you're doing anymore. I want you to do this. It's a whole different thing. James 2:18 says this. Now, someone may argue, isn't it possible that some people have good faith while other people do good deeds? See, there's the thing. James says, but I say no. I can't see your real faith if you don't do anything. If you don't do any real deeds, then you've got to show me. You got to show me your faith. In contrast, I show you my faith by the things that I do, James said. I don't just sit around and talk about them. There's a key phrase there. He says, show me. We need a faith that says, here's what I do for Jesus. We show others. Don't tell me it's a word you say, it's something you do, James says. It's not just something you say with your mouth. It has to have actions. I'm not a very good electrician, and down at camp, there's a bunch of electrical things that I've tried to touch before and tried to work on. One of them this past week was, and I shouldn't be doing this when I have an electric problem in my heart, but I was trying to, there's a light in the bathroom, and I was just messing around trying to screw it in, get it tighter, and I accidentally touched it. I'm sitting there doing this. I knew that I touched a wire. When you meet Jesus, you should know that there's something going on in your life. Otherwise, if you're just sitting around going, sitting in your nice, comfortable apartments, sitting in your nice, comfortable houses, and not doing anything for anybody else, it is so easy to get complacent and say, I've did my time. But I hurt, I have pain, I've got this. Doesn't matter. Find something else that doesn't require you lifting 50-pound boxes. I've found this the last year or two. It's been the worst thing in the world for me to do this, because I've had this heart thing, and it has slowed me down a lot, because I like to do stuff, and I haven't been able to do that. But I'm trying to find that God has other things for me to do. And you have got to do the same thing. Real faith, the faith that you see, produces change. It produces change in us and change in others. Lastly, what real faith is not is this. It's more than something I believe. And you got to get this. Okay, I'm going to go through this really quick, and then I'm going to shut it down. Here we go. Real faith is more than something you say you believe. And James hits this topic really, really well. He uses a little bit of sarcasm again. And I think that's why I like James so much, because he uses sarcasm to make his point. Look what he says in 19 and 20. James 2, 19 and 20. You believe there's one God. He's talking to the people here. He says, good. Even the demons believe. They believe that. And you know what happens? They shudder. They shudder at the name of Jesus. You foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Ooh la la. I believe in God. I can't tell you how many funerals I've done this last 2 years where people say that first thing out of their mouth, he believed in God. Did he go to church? Nope. Did he do anything? Nope. What? But he believed in God. Okay. Even the demons believe in God. The demons are not atheists. They are not. But we live like we're atheists if we don't do what God has called us to do. We can say, I believe in God. But that doesn't get you to heaven. Listen, that doesn't get you to heaven because even the devil says that. Even his demons say that. And they're scared to death of God. That's why the devil wanted to kill Jesus. James says, faith is something I do. Faith is something I do. Faith is something I do. It is not passive. It is not, it's a commitment. It's a choice. Faith is an action. Faith is something that I do and I do and I do. In 2:26, he says this, as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. I'm not saying this. This is James. He says, if you do something, do nothing, what good does your sympathy do? And just summarizing what I just, all the passages of James that I just read here this morning, I'm going to pick out these five things that he said. He said this, if you do nothing, what good does your sympathy do? Okay. What if you fail to do any real deeds? Do any real deeds. I'll show you my faith by what I do, he says. And then he goes, faith in God is useless if you don't do what he says he wants you to do. And then he says, faith that doesn't do anything is dead. Can I make it any more plain than that? Can James make it any more plain than that? Do you get the message here? Faith shows up in my life. It shows up in my lifestyle. It shows up everywhere I go. If there's no change, you haven't grabbed onto the wire. Or you let go of the wire and you're just kind of coasting. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says this. Stand firm in your faith. Stay brave. Be strong. Do everything in love. I can't think of a better sentence for you to remember. Stand firm and be strong. In what? Not in your strength, but in the Lord's strength. James ends this little speech by giving two examples, and here they are. There's two examples. So that's what faith isn't, okay? What I've just spent the last 15 minutes talking about. Here's what faith is. Two prime examples that James cites. He ends this little speech by two people, Abraham and Rahab. Abraham was a man. We call him the father of the faith. Rahab was a woman. Abraham was a rich businessman. Rahab was a poor prostitute. The ends of the spectrum. Rich, poor, kind of the dreg of the universe, which gives us such hope. Because if you walked in here a dredge, if you walked in here a mess, God has got something for you. If you walked in here today on the other end and you've got everything good and you're just coasting and you got your life all spelled out and you know exactly what you're going to do and you're going to go and you're going to barricade yourself on Vacation Alley, you're going to go barricade and you're not going to do anything for God, God's got something for you. God's got something for you. God comes to Abraham and he says, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave all this that you just built, all that I've allowed you to build. And Abraham goes, okay. He didn't say, where are you going? He didn't say, what do you want me to take? He just packed up the fam and he moved them. That's a great faith. Time and time again, we see Abraham face. God asked him to take his son and sacrifice him. Okay. God will provide the lamb. James concludes in verse 22 saying this about Abraham. You see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. Your works are the works of faith. Your works are the works of faith. What you do for Jesus is your faith. That's a faith that you can see. James 23 says this, and the scripture was fulfilled. It says, Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteous. And he was called, now listen, don't check out, he was called God's friend. I want to be called God's friend, don't you? I'd like to be called a friend of God. And I want somebody here today to be called a friend of God that's not. If you believe in Jesus and if you're doing what he's asked you to do, his plan for your life, then you are his friend. And if you're not, you're not there yet. That's the good news I came to say to you today. You can cross that line today. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It matters what God wants to do in you today. Then James gives one more short story, and the story is about Rahab. And if you don't know Rahab, she wasn't quite as popular as Abraham, but it's a spy story. And if they're ever going to make a spy movie, somebody at Angel Studios or somebody needs to make a Rahab story because it's a spy movie. And it would be so cool. There's this huge fortress that she's living in, and the Israelites are called to come and take this fortress away. And she's in the wall, and she's a prostitute, and nobody likes her inside except for money. And she becomes a friend of God by becoming a friend of the Israelites. And she allows them to get into the walls and to do what God is asking them to do. And she is counted as one of God's special people because you know why? When God is talking about all these giants in the faith, you know who gets listed on the top, one of the top of that list? It's Rahab the prostitute. You don't have to have your stuff all together to be listed as a friend of God, to be a friend of God, to be what God wants you to be. You just have to have a faith that does what God asks you to do. Because she risked her life in order to save God's people, God counted her as righteous. But her faith was more important than her background. Some of you have some horrific backgrounds. You've had some hard lives. You walked into this room. You may be going through a divorce. You may be just fresh off of one or just out of one. Or you may have something else going on. God wants to meet you right where you are today. Now, let me say this disclaimer, and then I'll close this down. I've talked a lot about doing today. And I, most days when I stand up here, I don't always talk about doing in this such harsh terms. And I want you to get this. Your works don't save you, okay? You can't work your way to heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. You cannot earn your way to heaven. I'm not talking about that, okay? They're not the root of your works are not the root of your salvation. They are the fruit of your salvation. Let me say that one more time. Your works are not the root of your salvation. Your faith is the root of your salvation. The fruit is what comes because of your faith. Does that make sense? You get it? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 puts it this way, and I think I've got this, it should come up on here. Follow along, and then we're about done. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. See, there it is. What saves you? Grace through faith. You got an unmerited gift through faith. By grace through faith for a life of good works, which God has already prepared for us to do. He has a life of good works he's prepared for you to do. See, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. He's already got it prepared. Just find it. How do you do that? You start and you, is this what I need to do? Is this what I need to do? Do I need to go on this mission trip? Do I need to help these people? Do I need to go to the hub? Do I need to get more biblically apt so I can talk to people? Whatever it is, you get busy finding out what his plan is for you, because you're not like everybody else. Not everybody can do everything like some of you. Some of you are good at everything, and some of you are good at about two things. Do those two things for somebody else. That's what God wants from you. There's three things he says in that verse. He says this: you are saved by grace, you are saved through your faith, and you are saved by a life of good works through your good works. You get all three parts in your life. They go together. They smoosh up there. So let's close by saying this as the band comes. The question I ask you today is, have you really put your faith in Jesus? Not your belief. Is there works in your faith? Is it changing your life? Or are you sitting on the sidelines going for everybody, go, 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 go? Because if you're sitting on the sidelines doing this, you know what that helps? Nobody. 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 And so here's how you know what your faith and where your faith is. Has it changed your life? Has it changed your life? I'd like you to stand with me right now. Please stand.